Well, saints, if you would turn to the book of Philippians, we are going to be in Philippians chapter 1, and we are looking at verses 19 through 26. Philippians 1, 19 through 26. Paul is discussing death in this passage. And death is something that is a subject matter that's very easy for us to avoid because it's uncomfortable. No one likes to think about dying. We see dying as loss. We see dying as separation. And it is those things. Death brings separation from this world, from our loved ones, from all that is familiar to us. We see death as loss. And death is loss. Because as we hear and we see on bumper stickers and on t-shirts, you can't take it with you, right? So all of our earthly possessions, when you die, you can't take it with you, right? We understand that. So death involves total loss of all earthly possessions. And that's why it's easy to avoid the subject of death and to not think about it. We live in a society that rather not think about death. We're filled with death. We are a society of death. Look at abortion, for example. But we like to act like none of us are ever actually going to die. That youth is something that is perpetual. And that through medical science, we can put it off forever. I keep reading about these billionaires and these other thinkers, these intellectuals, who keep trying to figure out the human genome so they can identify those genes, those particular genes that are responsible for aging, so they can switch them off and discover immortality. As we hate death, we run from it. And yet when we look at this passage in front of us, Paul has exactly the opposite view. He says, I'm hard-pressed. I don't know whether or not to live or die. I'd rather die. And then he says something just off the charts. He says, to live is Christ. What's that mean? And then he says this, and this is the really puzzling thing. To die is gain. To die is gain. Or in the Greek, you can also translate that as profit. To die is to profit. What a difference between Paul's perspective of death and the world's perspective of death. The world sees death as loss, as sorrowful. But Paul saw death as profit. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul's desire was to be with Christ, and death would grant him that. And he desperately wanted to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, I've got to tell you this. We've got to realize this. When Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain, that is true for all of us. You've got to believe that in order to be a normal Christian. Biblically defined. That has got to be your view as well. We have to look at death and see it as gain. In order to live for Christ like He requires, you and I must see death as gain. And if we do not see death as gain, then we will not be able to live for Christ. Do you know why? Because this life will be too precious to us. We will live for ourselves. We will not live for Jesus. So as we read through Paul's words, the words of the Spirit given to us through Paul here in Philippians 1, that's going to be our concern this morning. How does our view of death affect how we live our lives? Please listen carefully, starting in verse 19. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. And these are the words of God. Now you notice that Paul in these verses is continuing a theme that he began in the passage that we heard from last Lord's Day. And that theme is courage or boldness. Paul is still talking about courage or boldness, just like in the previous verses. And we see here that in spite of his imprisonment, remember he's imprisoned in Rome as far as we can tell. That's where he was at the time, under house arrest, with the possibility that he could be put to death. As he says here, that was on the line. He could have been put to death once his trial had come. He wasn't sure how the trial was going to turn out. Was he going to be found innocent and released, or was he going to be found guilty and put to death? He didn't know. And in that circumstance, with death on the line under house arrest, in spite of his imprisonment, Paul had confidence in three things. And three things we see here in these verses. First, he was confident that his imprisonment would result in his deliverance. He was confident of that. He had full confidence. This will turn out for my deliverance. One way or the other, it will result in my deliverance. I know that. Paul was confident of that. That's the first thing he was confident of. God would deliver him. The second thing that he was confident in spite of his imprisonment, was that he would not be ashamed of Christ and the gospel. That he would, by the help of the Spirit of Christ and through the prayers of the saints who were praying for him in Philippi and other churches, that the Spirit of Christ would work through those prayers and strengthen him and enable him to remain faithful so that he would not be ashamed of the gospel and deny Christ in order to find his secure his release. If necessary, he would die. And he goes on to say, that brings us to the third thing in which Paul was confident in the midst of his imprisonment, and that was this, that Christ would be honored in his body, whether by life or by death. That Christ would be honored in his body, whether by life or by death. That should be our aim as well, you know. That whether we live or die, Christ be honored in our bodies. Our bodies are for him, for his glory, for his honor. That convicts me. That convicts me. Does that convict you? It convicts me when I realize, wait, my body is for honoring him. My body is not for pleasing myself. My body is for honoring Christ. How often do we ask ourselves, how do I honor Christ with my body? How can I do that? What does that look like? More often, I think we ask ourselves, what makes me happy? What do I want? Instead of saying, how do I honor Christ? We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. Now, the source of Paul's courage, those are the three things that gave him courage in which he was confident. The source of his courage was the Spirit of Christ working through the prayers of his brothers and sisters in Christ. You notice he mentions those two things in tandem in verse 19, through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So he sees the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, working in him because of the prayers of his brothers and sisters. All right, so there's again pointing out the importance of the church, which is just beneath the surface throughout Philippians, how important our brothers and sisters in Christ are to our encouragement, to our perseverance, to our courage. We need one another. We need one another to pray for one another because the Holy Spirit works through us to strengthen each other. He works through the church to strengthen individual believers. This is what Paul was recognizing. His confidence was not in himself, not in his own ability, not in his own authority as an apostle. His confidence was in the Lord. His confidence was in the Spirit of Christ, and his confidence was in his brothers and sisters and their prayers for him. That's where his confidence resided. That's where our confidence needs to reside. We're not lone rangers. I don't trust in my own abilities. By myself, I'm weak, pathetic, naked, blind, and poor. It's only in Christ that I have courage. It's only when I'm with you that I have courage, because the Spirit of God strengthens me through you. And all of us are strengthened by the Spirit of God through one another. Now, it was his firm hope that he would be delivered, and we can imagine that the church at Philippi, among as well as numerous other congregations, were praying for Paul's deliverance. They didn't want their father in the faith in jail, under house arrest, under potential threat of death. They wanted him out, visiting them, doing what God had called him to do. So they were praying for his deliverance. And he trusted that it would work out for his deliverance, and that enabled him to face his trial with full courage, without wavering in his faith. He knew that regardless of how that trial turned out, Christ would be honored in his body. He knew that regardless of how his trial turned out, he himself would be delivered. If he was released, then he would be set free from house arrest and would be able to continue to serve Christ in the church. If he was put to death, then his martyrdom would honor the Lord Jesus and serve as inspiration to the other saints. And as I mentioned at the introduction this morning, this revealed a remarkable perspective in Paul. A remarkable perspective. That's easy to miss if we just gloss over it, right? Trying to read the Bible in a year, and so you just read it at the speed of light and don't actually pay attention to much. I'm not against reading the Bible in a year. I'm not against it. But don't only read the Bible that way. Because you, in order to really understand it, you got to dig in. So sure, reading the Bible in a year is good for familiarization. It is not good for familiarity in the sense of understanding everything that is being said in a given book. So what is Paul's remarkable perspective? Well, I mentioned it to you at the outset. He saw both release from prison and death as deliverance. Whether he was released or whether he was put to death, he would be delivered. So Paul realized, win-win. I can't lose. I'm either going to be released or I'm going to be killed. I win either way. Either way is for my deliverance. And we should stop and go, now wait a second, how is death deliverance? And the reason why that strikes us as odd is because we don't think of death as deliverance. We don't think of it in that context. We think of death in terms of penalty, because death is a penalty, the penalty for sin. But here's the wonderful thing, saints, the miraculous thing. That when you are in Christ and your sins are forgiven and you stand before God in the righteousness of Christ, as Paul goes on to say later on in Philippians 3, not my own righteousness, but the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, death is no longer penalty, it becomes deliverance. It's not a punishment. It is deliverance for you. Deliverance. That's how Paul saw things. And it was that view of death that was transformed by the death and resurrection of Christ, which set Paul free from the wrath of God so that he had peace with God, that enabled Paul to be so courageous. He wasn't afraid of death. He thought, if that's the worst that man can do to me, I've got nothing to be afraid of. Because that's deliverance. So if man's going to kill me, let man kill me. Because then I will be with Christ. And as he goes on to say, that's far better. Wasn't Paul worried he'd hurt the Philippians' feelings? No. It's better to be with Christ than with you. Is that true, saints? Yes. And we're going to find out why here in a few moments. Paul's so honest. It's better. I'd rather be with Jesus than visit you again. But because you need me to, I'll visit you again. Amen. Amen. So Paul saw death as deliverance. And here's my objective this morning for all of us to walk out of here seeing death in the same light. Because if you see death not as penalty, not as something to be afraid of, if you see death as deliverance, you will be unstoppable. By the grace of God, you will be fearless because you won't be afraid of death. And what's the worst that man can threaten you with? Death. And you can say, is that all you got? Okay. I'm not afraid of that. Death is deliverance for the Christian, for those in Christ. Death is deliverance. Now, where did that perspective come from? We see the answer in verse 21. Paul says, we all know this verse, many of us, we could quote it from memory, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we want to stop here for a moment and ask the question, what would Paul have been gaining or profiting through death? Crucial question. What would Paul have been gaining through death? The answer, as much of an answer as we can get anyway, is in verse 23. What he would be gaining from death would be departing to be with Christ, which was far better. That's what he would be gaining. Upon his death, he would be present with the Lord. Not away from the Lord, but present with the Lord, as we read earlier this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is what Paul would have been gaining. That was what he would have been profiting. He would have been with Jesus. Jesus himself. Jesus in the flesh. So that you can see him and worship him. And see his side and his hands and his feet and the wounds by which he redeemed you. You see those with your own eyes. Paul wanted to see those wounds. And he wanted to thank the one who had saved him. Don't you want that more than anything else? You need to, saints. If you are a believer, then that desire needs to burn white hot in your heart and in mine. I want to be with my Lord. I want to see his wounds. And I want to kiss his feet. And I want to embrace him and be embraced by him. And I want to give him thanks. I don't know if I'll have the words, so maybe I'll just weep at his feet. So let me just weep at his feet then. But I want to see him. Does that desire burn hotly within you? To be with Christ, to be with him where he is. That's what drove Paul. That was his profit, to be with Jesus. That was his great, all-consuming desire. That's why he was hard-pressed between the two. That's why he was hard-pressed between life and death. Do I want to be delivered or do I want to go into the presence of the Lord? I don't know. I really want, my desire is to go to be with the Lord. Now, I want to be very clear here. This does not mean that Paul was suicidal or that he had a death wish. And that doesn't mean that if you desire to be with Christ, that you should be suicidal or have a death wish. Not at all. Notice how Paul's desire to be with Christ defined his outlook upon his earthly life. How did it change the outlook of his life? Paul's desire was to be with Jesus in heaven. Away from the body and present with the Lord. So how did Paul spend his life? With that as his goal, how did Paul spend his life? He spent his life serving Christ, fruitful labor for the kingdom. That's how he spent his life. So the goal of seeing Christ motivated Paul to spend his life for the sake of Christ, not to spend it on himself. Not to be selfish, but to give himself for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of others. That goal shaped how he lived his life. And I'll tell you something, we move ahead to chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, and Paul expresses this very plainly for us. He writes, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. And he's looking to that goal, the goal of seeing Jesus and attaining the resurrection from the dead. He's recognizing he has not yet attained that. But one thing I do, now listen to this. This, here we go. You want to understand what motivated the Apostle Paul? Listen to this statement. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's how Paul lived his life, because his desire was to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He pressed on toward that goal. He forgot what was behind, and he pressed on toward that goal. And as a result of that, as we also see in chapter 3, he considered everything else to be rubbish. And if you look at the Greek, it's actually dung. He considered everything else to be dung compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. Everything else was expendable for the sake of honoring Christ. That's how Paul saw his life, because his goal was to see Jesus, and he was straining toward that goal for all he was worth. He saw his life, his earthly life, as being expendable for the sake of Christ's glory. Lord, I will give it all for you. Now listen, I look at my life and my heart and my desires, and if I'm honest, I am not nearly often enough straining toward that goal with everything I'm worth. More often than not, what am I doing? I'm more concerned with what I want. I'm more concerned with my happiness, with my comfort, with my own sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. I am not as concerned with honoring Christ in my body. So rather than giving my life for his glory and honoring him in my life and in my body, I instead make my desires my priority and my goal. The things of this life are what I love the most, rather than Christ himself. That wasn't the case for Paul. He says to live is Christ, to die is gain. So what does it mean to live for Christ? To live as Christ means doing exactly what I just read to you from Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Pressing on toward the goal of being with Christ so that you are spending everything you have and everything you are for the sake of Christ's glory and honor. And Paul would not allow himself to be distracted from that goal. His eyes were fixed upon Jesus. And that is how he lived his life. To live is Christ. My eyes are always set upon Christ when I will stand before him and see him face to face. And having that goal of seeing Christ led Paul to live his life not for himself, but to live his life for others in service to his brothers and sisters. That's how Paul lived his life. And let me tell you, saints, there is an indelible connection between having Christ and seeing him as your goal and living for others. If Christ is truly the goal to which you are pressing on, then that will be proven in the fruit your life is producing. And the fruit your life is going to produce is going to be love, service to the church, service to your brothers and sisters. That's the fruit. When you are straining toward Christ and your desire is to see him, then you are going to see this life as being expendable, something you expend upon Christ and others and not upon yourself. Paul articulates this in familiar terms for us in chapter 2, verse 17, where he describes himself as being poured out like a drink offering for the sake of the Philippians' faith. That's how you see yourself when it is your goal to press on toward Christ. You see yourself as a drink offering to be poured out. Not something you keep for yourself, but you're poured out for the sake of others, for their faith, for their hope, for their strengthening, to bless them. Is that how you see your life when you could think about it? I am intended to be a drink offering who is poured out for the glory of Christ and the good of my brothers and sisters. That's who I am. No. You know what I do? I'm not a drink offering. I put my hand over the top and hide it away. Seal it off. I'm not going to let this be poured out. I'm going to retain it for myself rather than having it be poured out. Now, Paul was confident that he would be released. That's very clear here. And early testimony, extra-biblical testimony from the early church fathers, from Clement and so on and so forth, their testimony strongly suggests that Paul was indeed released and that he was able to visit the Philippians one more time before he was eventually martyred. So he was imprisoned and then he was released. He was able to make another journey and visit some churches, and then eventually he was put to death after that. So saints, this attitude that we see expressed in Paul, this attitude of pressing on toward Christ, has got to be the same attitude we find within ourselves. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We, like Paul, have to press on toward that goal, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting this life and straining toward the moment when we will see Christ. And that is why we must see death as gain. You have to see death as gain. As I mentioned earlier, death is typically seen as loss, not as gain. And what happens when we have that perspective? When we believe that death is nothing but utter loss and it is not at all gain, how precious does this life become to us? Well, this life matters more. And we see this mentality among unbelievers, especially those who are of the atheistic persuasion, that tell us this life is all there is, and so you better live it up while you can, because once you die, there's nothing more. So don't let it go by. Grab life by the lapels and drink deeply, because tomorrow we die, and then there's nothing else. When you have that mentality, when that is your perspective, you are going to be selfish. Paul describes such people to the Philippians. He describes them later on in chapter 3. Verses 18 and 19, he says this with sorrow, that there were many who were living as enemies of the cross, with their minds set not on heavenly things, but their minds set on earthly things, with their stomachs as their gods. And when he says that, as we'll find out when we come to that passage, he's not talking about gluttony there, per se. He is talking about people who are ruled by their appetites, who are more concerned with pleasing themselves than they are concerned about pleasing God. And their minds are set on earthly things. Now, let me stop here for a moment and address our young folks. All right? And I mean, by young folks, I mean those who are younger than me. All right? How old am I? I'm 31. No, 41. I'm kidding. When you're young, it is very easy to have your mind set on earthly things because death seems so far away. And that's why you often find the mentality among younger folks, this idea that I'll get serious about following Jesus when I'm older. Because right now, death is way far away, and I've got all this life to live, and I want to go to school, and I want to get married, and I want to have a family and a job. And those are all the gifts of God. Those are all the gifts of God. But here's the thing. What Paul is saying here doesn't have an age limit. What Paul is saying here, to live as Christ and to die as gain, does not only apply to us old-timers. It applies to all of us. Young people, this must be your perspective too, whether you're 12 or 20 or 30. This must be your perspective. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And what's that mean? It means that your desire, the goal that has to shape your life is seeing Christ. You are living for that moment when you will appear before Him. This, remember what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:10? That we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we have done? We're living for that moment. Young folks, Think of that moment. That moment needs to shape how you live your life. Not focused upon yourself. Not self-centered and thinking about me, but thinking about Jesus. How do I live my life right now in such a way so that when I appear before my Lord, I can do so without shame? So that I can do so knowing I honored him imperfectly. I'm a sinner. But knowing that he was my goal the whole time. I was pressing on from as young as I was till the time the Lord brought me home. I was pressing on toward Christ. That is a question that we must all think through. How am I honoring Christ? What is my desire that drives me from day to day? Is my mind set on earthly things? Is my stomach my God? Am I driven by my own desires and appetites, or am I driven by the love for Christ? Am I driven by the desire to see him and to appear before him and to give him glory rather than being ashamed? You don't want to appear before the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I wasted my gifts. I spent my life on myself. You want to be able to say to him, I was poured out like a drink offering for your glory. Because it was a gift anyway. So I was poured out for you, Lord. If we are going to be willing to lose everything for Christ, then we must see death as gain. Let me say something about this before we close. Why is death gain? Let's think about this for a moment, saints. Because here's the thing. I don't want you, and listen, God does not want you to be afraid of death. He does not want us to be afraid of death. He wants us to see that death is deliverance. So let me explain to you here on this note that death is deliverance. We saw earlier this morning from 2 Corinthians 5 that to be away from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is what God has told us. And why do you think he's told us that? To be away from the body is to be present with him. Because he doesn't want us to be afraid of what comes next. None of us have died before. None of us know what it's like. That's what makes death so terrifying, is because it's mysterious. And our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to be afraid of it. He says, listen, when you die, you're with me. When you die, you are running right into your Father's arms. That's what death is. Don't be afraid of it, because I'm on the other side. Me, your Redeemer. I'm the one waiting for you. So don't fear it. We don't know much about what we describe in theology as the intermediate state, all right? So the intermediate state is the state in which we exist in the presence of the Lord prior to the resurrection. When the resurrection comes, then the heavens and the earth will be renewed, our bodies will be raised, and we'll dwell upon the earth with God. Prior to that, we are going to dwell in heaven with him. We don't know much about what heaven is like in that regard. Scripture does not tell us very much at all, and that's all right. We know it is far better. That's what Paul tells us here. Here's what else we know. It also brings deliverance. If you are dead and with the Lord, you have been delivered, saints. Delivered from what? You've been delivered from your sin. You won't sin anymore after death. What else are you delivered from? You're delivered from death. You will never die again. Having died once, you will never die again. What else are you delivered from? Temptation. You'll never be tempted again. You're delivered from fear. You'll never be afraid again. So death brings deliverance because it brings deliverance from all of those things. You enter God's rest. Your race is finished. The fight is over. Your struggle is over. And you are at peace in Christ. That is why death is deliverance. Now, of course, this is only true for those who are in Christ. It is not true for those who are outside of Christ. But for those who are in Christ, death is deliverance. And so we do not need to fear it. We are able to live for him for all we're worth right here and now, because we know that when we die, we will be taken into his presence, and that is our driving motivation for everything that we do. We're not living for this life, we're living for the life to come, for that moment when we will appear before our Lord Jesus Christ. So as I conclude things this morning, saints, there's two things I want to say to you, and then we'll pray. Here's the first. Is it your greatest desire to be with Christ? Is that what drives you? Is that the goal to which you are pressing on? Or are you distracted by the things of this world? And it's okay to want to have a family and have goals in this life. That's all fine and the blessing of God. But it all has to be driven and motivated ultimately by your love for Jesus. So the question is not ultimately what makes me happy. The question is what honors Christ? Is that your greatest desire? Do you read what Paul says here and say, amen, that resonates, I get what he means? Or do you read what Paul is saying here and say, what on earth is he talking about? This makes no sense at all. Your focus has to be upon Christ. He's your goal. And here's a good measure to tell you whether or not your focus is Christ or not. How do you serve others? How do you serve others? Is that the fruit of your life? Love for others, service to them, or are you more wrapped up within yourself? Are you focused upon yourself and your desires? And do you have your mind set on earthly things, or are you living for the glory of God by loving others? Here's the last thing, saints. And this is encouraging for those of you especially, for all of us when we go through hardships of many kinds. A number of us here have been through some hard things. Many of us here are going through hard things. Realize, saints, those hardships are temporary. They are temporary. When you're in the midst of them, they seem like they're never going to end. But God will bring deliverance from them. And you can trust him in that. And that's good news. That's good to know that our hardships are temporary. So trust God and his timing. This does not mean we should, like, as I said earlier, this does not mean that we should have a death wish or that we should seek death out. Not at all. That's taking God's authority into our own hands, which is wicked. We trust him. But we can trust him to eventually deliver us from the hardships that we are facing. So face those hardships that are before you. Face them with confidence like Paul did. Know that one way or the other, God is going to deliver you from them. One way or the other. Either he is going to bring temporal deliverance here on earth right now, this side of eternity, or he will eventually call you home and bring you deliverance that way. But one way or another, he is going to deliver you by his grace. He is not going to keep you in the midst of such hardship forever. So, for now, have courage in Christ. Be bold. Honor him in your body. Whether you live or you die, honor him. Make that your focus. Eagerly desire to be with the Lord. But until he calls you into his presence, until he gives you that final deliverance, make it your purpose to serve him and to bless others. Be poured out like a drink offering. Give yourself and trust him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that through your Son, we don't need to be afraid of death. We thank you, Father, that for those of us who are in Christ, death is deliverance, Lord. Deliverance from our sin, our temptation, our fear, our struggle. May that be our perspective, Father. That as we look forward to our own death, as we know it is coming, may we see that as our deliverance. May we see it as profit, as gain, so that we will live this life for your glory and for the good of others and not for ourselves, Father. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.